with Jenny Winter.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, beautiful people of planet Earth. At least it was planet Earth last time I checked, which was just now, because I had to do that instead of doing the washing up. What? Nailing life. Yes, I am. It is, as I'm recording this, it's nighttime. The dishes are sort of done. I've sprayed some stuff on a bench, and now I'm recording this. So I'm counting it as, like, the most productive 17 minutes of my entire life. You're welcome. On today's episode, I am super pumped to bring you the delightful wonder of nuggety goodness that is Ellen Briggs. Ellen and I go way back. I can't remember the first time I met her. I do remember seeing her on stage. She is freaking hilarious. Just love her. And she and Mandy Nolan, who you'll probably remember was on the first episode of this season, do an amazing double-headed act. Oh God, I think I walked right into that one. A double header act. Look, there's an act and there's two of them, so it's double. And they're both headlining, so it's a double headline act. Yeah, let's go with that. Called Women Like Us, which is phenomenal. And the thing I love about these ladies, both of them, is they are so supportive of other women. It's never a competitive, you know, that bullshit of like they're just very much champions for other women. And that's what we need more of in the world. And I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm singing everything. Yeah, I do. It's because I sing everything. It's just part of my personality. Maybe there's a word for that. I wonder if there's a term for that. I must Google it. Anyway, without further ado, I'm so excited to introduce you if you haven't met her already. And if you have, I'm so excited to reacquaint you with the gorgeous little love nugget that is Ellen Briggs.
Yay, welcome Ellen!
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm so excited to talk to you. You're so adorable. I mean that in a beautiful way, not a condescending way.
Nobody in my house says that.
Oh, you know what? My littlest will say that to me when he's in a really good mood. He'll go, Mum, you're so adorable.
Oh, that's really nice. Totally. See, my littlest is 20 now, so he's not saying that I'm adorable at all.
Oh my goodness! And you've got 20-year-old twins.
Yeah.
So that's double trouble. How are they? Like that? I mean, you've pretty much done it now, right?
They're great. They're really great. We've had a pretty easy ride with them, to be honest. They're one of them's in his second year of his apprenticeship. He's fully sick, Jen. He's a spray painter.
Fully sick.
He's a fully sick.
Oh,
kid.
Nice.
He's riding to his cars. Yeah, he talks like that all the time, and I'm like, why do you speak like you're Lebanese? Stop it. He wants to live down in Western Sydney and just do fully sick circle work. And the other guys, he wanted to move to Melbourne last year and obviously couldn't go because of COVID. And so he's ready to go. You know, when you get to, Ella's moved out, hasn't she, your daughter?
She has, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So
someone once said
to me, you'll know when they're ready to go, because I was really like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine them not living at home, and you'll know when they're ready to go. And he is really ready to go, and I'm ready for him to go. You know, like he's unhappy here now. He's not horrible to be around, but you can tell he's unhappy. He wants to be somewhere else. So he's going to move to Melbourne, and yeah, which is great. Yeah.
Wow.
But they're good. They
That's awesome.
They just haven't given us any trouble at all, really. We've had a very easy ride with them.
All right. Well, Ellen, it's been lovely talking to you, and I'll just be over here in the corner weeping.
Do you know when they were
no,
little?
No, I'm very happy for you.
When they were little, I used to go to this play group, and there'd be all these mums there with their one baby, you know, like, oh my God. And I used to make sure I didn't do my hair that morning. I wouldn't put on makeup or anything. Because I would have slept 13 hours with my twins And who wants to hang out with that chick? Who wants to hang out with the bitch who's got the two sleepy babies? You know, coming in like, oh, God, no, I've had a great sleep. I feel like I could go for a run perhaps, you know. They'll be going back to bed in a couple of hours. So I'd pretend that I'd been up all night. Because I just wanted to hang out with the girls.
Oh, my God.
And I just didn't want to be that woman. But now I just go, oh,
that's a beautiful kind of weirdly weirdly feminist act, like of solidarity. Yeah, exactly. Like that. Or it's like it almost feels like the girl like dumbing herself down in class because you don't want to, you know, invoke the wrath of your other friends, your peers.
Well, I just wanted to be a part of the gang. And if the gang was the gang of the women who had kids that weren't sleeping and they all had colic and all sorts of things, then I just went, fuck, my kids can't talk, so I can lie about them and they're not going to dob me in.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. Can I ask you, darling, because I realised we've been friends for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But so much so that I think I've completely taken for granted the fact that I actually don't even know what your origin story is in comedy land. Like, I actually don't even know. I know that you did Mandy Nolan's comedy course, but what inspired you to even do that in the first place? Or can you just tell me a little bit about your journey towards comedy?
Well, it was never an inspiration of mine. I never thought that I would be a comedian, never thought I would be good enough to be a comedian or anything like that. I did love comedy. I was a big fan of comedy. But when I had the boy, my background was in government. I worked for federal government. And then when I moved to the Byron Shire, I worked for local government, for Byron Shire Council. And so I was always and I worked at Lismore Uni for a while. I was always kind of a career woman, and then I had the kids and I was at home
doing admin stuff or what kind of stuff?
I was an executive assistant. So I was an executive assistant in the minister's office in Canberra, and then up here I was the executive assistant to the Byron Shire Council manager. So yeah, you know, you mean like a secretary but a little fancier, I like to say. And in Canberra, I did a whole lot of things. I used to do staff training. So I was in front of people. I had no problem with public speaking or anything like that. I was in a staff development area for a while and traveled around doing that. And then when I had the boys, I kind of just had this idea, yeah, I'll go back to work because I really loved it. And with Alex doing the job he did, you know, he traveled with the MotoGP teams he's only just retired. He was doing that for 29 years. So he was away for 8 months of the year on and off. And I had this idea that I would be able to go back to work. And then I had these two babies and went, oh, I can't go back to work. This is insane. So, I had to resign from my job after my maternity leave. And I was incredibly bored. I don't think women ever tell other women how mind-numbingly boring it is. You're busy. You're so busy when you have kids, but it's mundane, boring, mind-numbingly bullshit stuff, isn't it? You know, like it kills your soul. I just felt like my brain was like in the bottom of an oven just frying away, you know? And so I started writing a book. I went, okay, I've got to do something with my brain. So in my spare time I started writing a book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, never finished it. And it sort of became, it started to get funnier. And I didn't know Mandy, but I knew about her course because she was running the course in this area where we live. And so I contacted her and said, look, I don't want to do comedy, but would your course help with writing? There are no kind of comedy writing courses around. And she went, yeah, come along, but you will have to do the stand-up at the end of it. That's part of it. And I remember thinking, oh, no, I won't. I'm absolutely not doing that. And she's a giant bully. And she made me do it. And after I did my little 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I actually really liked that. And she said to me, she goes, you know, you should probably just get up again at some open mics because you really have a spark on stage. There's something about you. And I think I did maybe 4 open mics and then I went in the Raw Comedy competition just because it was another opportunity to get on stage, and I won that. And then I went up to Brisbane and I won that heat, and then I went down to Melbourne for the final. So, and when I look at that now, I cringe. You know when you look at your earlier stuff and you just go, oh, my God, why was I talking like that?
Oh, God,
why was
yes.
I breathing like that? Like, so bad. So bad. But got really, you know, when you win a comedy competition, it doesn't mean, you know, you're set, does it? It just means, you know, a door somewhere might be a little ajar. You know, like, and you can maybe push through. But then one of the very first instances of, well, let's say sexism, I guess, in this industry that I encountered was they asked me, so the comedy festival people asked me to fly down to Melbourne and come to this kind of, they called it an end of year party, and they wanted me to perform at the party with a few other people. And so I get there and, you know, there's some big names there. Claire Hooper was there. She was one of the people I remember, and all these other people. And I did my bit. And then I was talking to Claire at the end of it, and she said, so how are you going to go if you get this? And I went, get what? And she went, you don't know why you're here. And I went, no. And she said, they're actually kind of auditioning for the Comedy Roadshow. And I went, oh, well, I don't know. What do you mean? How Whoa. Am I going to go? And she goes, well, you know, with your kids and everything. And I went, fuck, like, how? They're not asking anyone else that. You know what I mean? And whether that's why I didn't, why I wasn't asked to go on the Comedy Roadshow or not, but I didn't get it. And I went, oh, that's interesting, you know, because maybe they sat there and they went, oh, we really like her, but she's got kids. What would she possibly do with her kids while she's away? So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So that's how I started.
It's a tough one. Did that weigh on your mind? Yeah, that's an awesome story. I want to ask about your novel, but I also want to ask about was it a novel or was it non-fiction?
No, it wasn't a novel. No, it wasn't a novel. It was one of those shitty fucking, you know, twins book, because there were no books about having twins. All the books that I was able to get, and, you know, we're talking 20 years ago, so there wasn't, the internet wasn't what it was now, and you couldn't just kind of get things easily. I had to order these things from America, these books from America, you know, on even birthing twins, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so I went, but there needs to be some resources here. So I was just going to write about my experience of being a twin mother, and I was thinking I would interview other twin mothers and all that. So anyway, fuck, that never happened. And now there's a million of them. Everybody's got twins now. Very trendy.
Oh. you were the original, though.
Yeah,
you were the original.
Boring, though. Like,
I reckon
put them to bed and they stay in bed, and then you get them out in the morning.
Oh, my God, you should do, yes, I That's still think you should write chapter. That book and just make it the most, like, completely, this is easy.
Just one of those pictures.
It's like three lines, done.
Have a photo of me on the
Have
front
photos.
With my felt hat. In my linen dress from Spill. And you go, oh, it's easy. So did it weigh on my mind?
I don't know what people complain about.
Yeah.
It's all mindset.
You're also weak. I don't know. I don't know if it played on my mind. I do remember feeling a bit like, fuck you. If I got invited to this, then that's my problem. You know, it shouldn't be part of your deciding factor. I do remember thinking that. But, you know, Jen, I was already in my 30s. I wasn't a young, fresh-faced woman. I'd already had, you know, a lot of experience in dealing with high-powered men, especially, and so I knew how things worked.
Yeah.
And it also wasn't because I wasn't incredibly ambitious. And to be honest, I'm still not incredibly ambitious. Maybe that's held me back. I don't know. But I kind of just went, oh, well, if it happens, it happens. You know, like. I wasn't out there really thirsty for it. I wasn't going, fuck, I want to be the next big thing, because I never had the confidence that I would be the next big thing. I was very realistic about my abilities.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then when you did start getting more performing stuff happening, because this is all, I mean, it's beautiful. It's kind of just, yeah, it's, dare I say, at the risk of sounding very Byron, but it's happened very organically for you.
It was a very organic process.
But as you were getting out more and stuff, Yes, almost like organic chai fair trade process.
Yeah.
But did you get kickback from anybody? Because, I mean, the world is quite a sexist place and there is a lot of, there's so many double standards when it comes to the mum-dad thing and especially leaving your kids to go pursue a passion like comedy. Yes. That it's not like you're painting while they're napping. It's like you're actually going out and going away. How was that for you, like for family, friends, et cetera?
Yeah, and yeah. it's not perceived as a real job, right? You know, people think it's just a little thing you do. It's just a weird little thing you do. No.
Well, until you get to a certain point, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I always got asked who looks after the kids when you're away. And, you know, I mentioned my husband, 29 years. We've been together for 28 of those years, and he has traveled for all of those years. And we obviously had our kids during those years, and he has never, ever been asked who looks after your kids, or he's never been asked, do you feel guilty leaving your kids? He's never once been asked anything like that. And he's astounded that I've had it asked to me while he's sitting there. And he's like, fuck, are you kidding? You know, like he.
Wow.
And he has all the same feelings that we have, Jim, when we go out. You know, when he used to go away, he'd feel guilty about leaving me. He'd feel guilty about not being with the kids. You know, he felt like he was letting us down. And I always kind of explained our relationship, and especially to the kids as they got older, we were a team, and dad's a member of the team, and he's away and he's earning money and he's doing it in a way that he loves, which he's very lucky. If you can do that in your life, then great. And he's providing a life for us so we can live on this beautiful farm and I can be home with you while he's not here. And that allowed me to do what I wanted to do as well. Mm. You know, Yeah, I think I still get it. I think I don't know about you. I'm nearly 52 now, but I still get the thing, especially from young men, you know, a little bit of the old, oh, yeah, she's just an old hack who talks about her kids on stage. You know what I mean? And I still get it. That's uh-huh. That's the one thing I've always kind of felt, that you're kind of dismissed as the, oh, yeah, she's just the old chick that, you know, talks about. That's if they even realise you're a comedian in the green room. Often they think that you're someone's mum. You've just come along. It doesn't help that sometimes I take my crocheting for the green room because I would rather fucking crochet than speak to those young guys. You know, like if I wanted to speak to young blokes, I'd stay home and talk to my kids.
Well, it doesn't help that you're like... Or you're just sitting there like holding a photo frame with a little family in it and just stroking it while a tear rolls down your cheek.
Yeah,
like,
there that's she is right. Again.
Missing that old them weirdo.
So much. I'm very realistic about people's perceptions of me. And that I think that came from doing comedy, to be honest. I do remember this in Mandy's comedy class, one of her exercises, which I think is a fantastic exercise that anybody in any role of public speaking should do this exercise. So on the very first night of this course, all these strangers are in a room. I think there were 15 people in the class, and we all had to write down, we had a name tag on, and we all had to write down our first impression of every other person in the room. And every single person wrote to the effect about me, every single person wrote to the effect of, oh, she looks really nice and very conservative. And I thought that I was really and I thought I was really cool. And so that really kind of floored me that I was.
Can I just say, is that symptomatic though of where you live? Because you're in Byron, which is not conservative. Is that relatively you look positively, you know, church mouse compared to the frickin', you know, wild nudist colony? Is that kind of, did that have anything to play with in it?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I mean, you know, the fact that I brush my hair, that probably helped, you know, and I have shoes on. Fucking hell, she
you're
must
so
be
fancy.
Rich. Look at her, fully dressed. I guess I am, in a way. I am quite conservative, Jenny, but I didn't realise, really. I really was walking through life thinking I was fucking pretty cool. And And so it actually, it became part of, once I got to know myself a bit better on stage, I certainly played to that. You've seen the way I dress when I go on stage. I do dress very conservative. I wear very nice frocks. I always mm-hmm. have high shoes on. I keep myself nice for the stage. And I think that plays into it a little bit. You know, people look at me and go, fuck, how could she possibly be funny? You know, I do look like somebody who probably goes to church on Sunday, whatever that looks like these days. I don't know.
I think it's great. I've never actually thought of you as conservative, I have to say, but maybe that's because I know you so well too.
Yeah,
but even the way you dress, you always look like the funky one, you know what I mean? Like if you're at work, you're the funky well-dressed one for sure. Speaking of the Byron Shire, so I just wanted to ask you this because, sorry, you go, darling.
No, I was going to say, see, I think you're the funky one. I look at you and go, oh, my God, her clothes, she looks amazing. Your hair and all that, and I'm just there with my little bun and my Leona Edmonston frock on.
I love a good Leona Edmonston frock.
Like, you can't beat them.
Do you know what it was for me, though? Like, I know. Well, I feel like I've grown into who I am, like, and even I still wear just shit at home around the house sometimes, but then sometimes I'll dress up and it just depends very much on my mood. But I feel like I am actually loving getting older because I give so less of a shit what anyone thinks. I'm just like, I'm just going to wear what I love, like, and then whatever. And I figure the people that love that are my people and that's it.
Well, that's absolutely 100% I'm like that, you know, like fuck around the house. It's pretty horrific, really, what I wear. And even when I go out now, I would never have gone out, you know, without just a touch of makeup on. I would have just gone, oh, no, I can't. And now I just go, who gives a shit? You know, who cares? I do still like to, you know, I think of that sort of uniform for me for going on stage. Like I haven't been on stage and not looked how I want to look on stage, you know what I mean? And that's part of the process for me, that start of getting into that, okay, I'm going on stage, I'm preparing. It's, I guess it's like a sports person who prepares, they get the gear on, they get into that mindset, you know. I wouldn't feel comfortable on stage in clothes that I know look really shit on me, you know. And I don't care what people think, it's how I feel in them.
Yeah. That's actually, yeah, that's exactly right, isn't it? Well, I had a bit of a nightmare a few weeks ago because I had a gig and I completely forgot to pack my shoes. This was up at Caloundra and I got there and realized, shit, like all I had were these little slip-ons that I'd worn in the car that were just completely not shoes you would wear on stage at all. And then anyway, I sort of went online and was like, fuck, this has happened. What do you reckon? And all of the Funny Mummies Facebook group were like, just go barefoot. Who gives a shit? And I went barefoot and my dress still was amazing, but I was in bare feet and I felt fabulous because I felt like, who cares? This is actually very comfortable. So I think if I hadn't physically felt comfortable in that, would have been a different experience, but it was actually very nice.
Yeah, I remember that actually. I think I was one of the people that just went, go barefoot, it'll be fantastic, you know, like it's I think it's amazing. My biggest fear is not packing a bra. Like I would really hate to be on stage with the girl.
Oh, yes.
As I'm getting older, my breasts are just getting so fucking big and I would be so uncomfortable on stage with the big girls swinging around.
Oh my God, I could not do that. I could not do that. I remember my kids still tell the legendary tale of it was when I think their dad and I had just split up and I was out in the front yard, talk about not giving a shit, I was out in the front yard in my 90, so no bra on, trying to start the freaking lawnmower. And it was like I was about to knock myself out because my boobs were just like flying up into my face with every, like, and the kids were just like, can you imagine how mortified they were? They're like, Mom! The whole neighborhood seeing these boobs just going left, right, and up.
All the men in the street are like, I'm going to go and mow the lawn, love. Every man's out. But you mowed it yesterday. Yeah, I didn't do a very good job.
It's the details, Marjorie. Attention That's to it. Details. But listen, speaking of unruly, unguarded bosoms and bare feet, and I wanted to talk about the Byron Shire and where you live, because I wanted to ask, Mandy often is writing about all the shit that's happening down there and the changes and the, you know, rich people moving in and stuff, but there is like a celebrity infestation down there, isn't there?
Oh yeah, everyone who's anyone has moved down here. You see them. You see them everywhere. You know, I saw Chris Hemsworth was in Woolworths one time. I didn't realize it was him. He was standing in front of the tomatoes and he was on his phone. And I'm like, oh, you fuckhead, get out of the way. And I went, excuse me, I just need to get some tomatoes. And he turned around and, you know, I was like, oh yeah, Chris Hemsworth, get out of the way. Got my tomatoes and carried on. But my neighbour, so I live on 40 acres and our place is very average, beautiful piece of land. I'm incredibly lucky. We have a gorgeous piece of land, very ordinary house. But our neighbours also have a beautiful piece of land and an amazing house with this incredible view. And we were talking about how, you know, what's happened down here is this explosion of people that have come here and you know, we were on the map anyway, but now we're really on the map. And so prices have just skyrocketed. So my kids, for example, would never be able to go and get a share house in Mullumbimby because there's a waiting list. You know, they have auctions for rentals now down here and people are going, well, I'll pay $200 above the asking price and I'll give you 6 months in advance of cash. You know, so, of course, landlords are cashing in on that. It's insane. And so there's this real, you're feeling like this erosion of community is happening because those people coming in aren't really, but you know, if you're coming in and you're buying 5 and 6 houses and you're renting them out for inflated prices, you're not, you know, that's not being part of a community. You're making money out of it. People who, you know, we have an investment property, which is our superannuation because we're both sole traders. And we have a woman who lives in there who's a single mother with 4 children and her rent is incredibly low because we don't use that as an income. And I feel like I have an obligation to my community that we can provide housing for women like that. She's lived in our house for 7 years. She's never once missed her rent. She looks after the place. She has these beautiful children. Her kids go to school in our community. What would happen to her? What would happen to that woman and her children if we went, you know, what we could, and we could get another $300 a week for that place, but that's not what we have it for. And so all these people are coming in, but so my neighbor's house, which I was telling you about, you know, I've been really kind of complaining about this erosion of community and what's going to happen here. And my neighbour came down and he goes, fuck, you're not going to believe it. You know, Zac Efron just came to my place with a real estate agent and they've offered me $4 million for my house. And I was like, wow, so where are you going to go? And he goes, well, where would I go? You know, where would I go? And I fucking pushed him off the deck and I went, go anywhere, it's Zac Efron.
Oh my God.
But he's not selling. So I haven't got Zac Efron as a neighbor.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But anyway, they've all bought around here.
Oh my God.
Pete Evans has got his cult happening up in.
Yeah, I know. Well, I heard. Does he really? I didn't know he was living up there. That's. Like for reals, like a commune, or do you mean like just generally that's his headquarters to spread his shit around?
Oh, no, I think it is like a commune. There's lots of jobs. If you go on Seek, there's lots of jobs up there for the. It's called the Pete Evans something. There's lots of jobs up there. I think one of the jobs the other day was like, you know, a therapy coordinator. It's a full thing. I believe it's cultish. It's a little bit cultish. I'll probably die after this. If something happens to me, Jen, after saying that, then let's
go. Yes. Okay, and I'll be submitting this podcast as evidence. Yeah. Well, you know what? I think it says it's – oh, my God, that's so funny. Yeah, she got killed in the hot yoga studio with a bag of quinoa. I was going to say, this is how bad the job market is at the moment, though, for teenagers, is there's part of me, my son's desperately trying to get a job and there's just nothing, like it's so competitive because there's hardly anything around. But I don't know, like at what point do you go, well, yeah, I mean, it's a cult, but they've got a lot of jobs going and it'd be good to, you know, get in on the ground level.
Yeah, just and, you know,
a bit of
just,
that Kool-Aid and you'll get paid.
I guess they're healthy. You know, you know that. Well, he won't be getting any vaccinations while he's there. Anyway, we know that.
No, but his iron's good. Very That's good it. Iron.
Oh, he'll be in. He'll be in.
Oh my God. Well, my darling lady, I could talk to you forever, but I am respectful of your time. I wanted to ask you our quick rapid-fire questions.
Great.
If you're up for it.
Yeah, let's go. Let's give it a crack.
Let's do it. So question number one, if you could have dinner with any person, living or dead, who would it be?
See, publicly I want to say something like, I want to say Nelson Mandela because I have a terrible trait in my personality is an inability to forgive people who hurt me. And I think that's the most remarkable thing about that man. So I want to say that. But, you know, honestly, I would say John Mayer because I'm fucking a woman and that dude is hot.
Well, if you kind of like subtly send his manager who photos wouldn't want of your to have neighbor's dinner with property. John Mayer? Okay.
The best... Come on in, John.
The best advice you've ever received?
Oh, the best advice I ever received was from a comedian called Des Dowling. Do you know Des Dowling?
I don't. I know the name, though.
Yeah, okay. He's a Melbourne comic. He does lots of booking as well. And he sent me to this horrific gig, like really terrible. That's another podcast altogether. And I rang him and told him, I said, well, you just sent me into hell. And he went, Ellen, dry your tears with the check, my love.
Oh!
Because it was a really good paying gig.
That's exceptional.
And I just think that's brilliant advice. Dry your tears with the check and move on. Yeah.
What's the worst advice you've ever received?
Oh, okay. The worst advice I ever received probably was don't buy a property in Brunswick Heads because Now you can't buy anything in Brunswick Heads for under $2 million. And we were looking at a place that was about
$250,000. Oh, no. You know what, though? When I've been to Brunswick in the last few years, I have been enamored with it. I mean, goodness me, the Brunswick Picture House, hasn't that just completely exploded?
It's beautiful. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing little town. And yeah, we were looking at a place for 250 and someone was like, oh, you don't want to buy there. No, that'll never take off. Fuck.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
I nearly bought a house in Tassie. This is about 15 years ago. A little beach shack, like a shit shack, but right by the water for $30,000 and I didn't do it. And now you can't get anything in Tassie for less than a few hundred grand.
Wow.
Anyway, I feel your pain. Okay, what's the best comeback that you've ever made to somebody? And if you haven't actually made it or you've thought about it afterwards that you could have said?
Well, I think this is the best one. My friends and I still laugh about this. So this is years ago. I would have been, I don't know, 20 years old and I was in a nightclub in Canberra. And this guy, you know, really busy nightclub and we're all getting pushed around at the bar. And this guy came up and said right into my ear, I want to lick your asshole. And I said to him, wow, wouldn't you want to get to know me first? And my friends couldn't believe that I said that.
Oh, my God.
that I was so polite about it. But that was my first, I just kind of went, that's an odd thing to say to a stranger. You know, my clean freakness came into it. That one, and I did a good one recently, which I was quite proud of once I got home. I was walking my dog, Stanley, and he was a little bit naughty. This woman was coming along on her bike you know, those bikes with the basket at the front, and she had the baguettes in the front, and she's pedaling along, you know, all upright, looking very lovely. And the dog kind of lurched out in front of her, and she thought that he was going to bite her or something or fall off. And she got really angry because she was scared, and she goes, why don't you control your fucking dog? And I went, why don't you use your bell, Mary Poppins?
Oh!
I thought that was funny.
Mary Poppins! That's so funny. Oh, my God. And also, because I'm such a Mary Poppins fan, like I love Mary Poppins so much, I don't believe she ever rode a bike.
Didn't
and
she?
Yet the image yeah, okay. Works.
She did it. You know the, she did the it. Picture of this? Yeah, it does, right?
She doesn't.
She never ride a bike.
No, no, no. But here she never rode a bike.
It looks like she should have.
The image. Absolutely. The image works. The image works. It might have been one of the nannies being auditioned at the beginning rode a bike. The image works. She definitely rode a bike in The Sound of Music. Julie Andrews rode a bike in that. So maybe you're... But anyway, that is freaking hilarious. I think it's funnier because she didn't. Of. I think it's funnier because she didn't. It's epic. and finally, Ellen Briggs, what would you like to have written on your tombstone?
I just think something, you know, like she was a pretty good chick. We liked her.
Aww.
I'd be happy with that.
That's why I think you're adorable. Thank you so much, my darling.
Oh,
where's the best place for people to find you? You're a gorgeous girl. Where's the best place for people to find you online?
You can find me on Facebook. So our Women Like Us show, we've got a Women Like Us comedy page. That's my page with Mandy Nolan, or there's Ellen Briggs Comedian on Facebook. And I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. It's all just Ellen Briggs or Ellen S. Briggs. You'll find me.
Beautiful. Oh, thank you, my darling. Thank you so much, Ellen. Love you, darling.
Thanks, Jen. Love you to bits.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Isn't she just a sweet delight? I love her so much. It was so nice too, because we've had a couple of, you know, political and then a heavy episode. And it was just nice just to have an absolute just cracking funny catch up with a friend. It's beautiful. So I have this crazy idea for a future episode, which is going to be an Ask Jen Anything episode. Ask Jen Anything. Ask Jen Anything. It's just going to be called Look, Ask Me Anything. So if you have a burning question, it can be stupid, it can be serious, it could be, look, anything goes. So if you have a question, please do write to me, okay? You can find me on the Funny Mummies Facebook page. You can find me at contact@jennywinter.com. And that's winter with a Y, WYNTER.com. Or you can even send me a voice memo and then I can put your beautiful dulcet tones right here on the podcast as well. Ask me anything. Future episode will be very fun or weird. Hopefully both. Amazing. Thank you so much. Hope you have a beautiful rest of your day/hour/week/everything/ all the prices down. Okay, I really need to go and take my hair. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Funny Mummies podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you join our group on Facebook, the Funny Mummies group. Also, we have funnymummies.com, which has upcoming gigs, shows, fun stuff. You can find me, Jenny Winter, which is WYNTER. Why? Because I can. At jennywinter.com, you can find me on Facebook at Jenny Winter Comedian, Instagram at Jen Winter. And your child could be the voice on this podcast. So if your child would like to say, with Jenny Winter, record that as a voice memo, send it through to me. You can either send it via the Facebook group or
via my website, and they could be the voice on the next episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you find some funny in your day.